My name is Ralph Peake. I'm standing in Douglas North.
Well, Ralph, you first won your seat in 2015, I think it was.
That's
in a by-election,
right.
Re-elected in 2016. So just about 6 years now in position. How's it been?
Absolutely fantastic. I've really enjoyed it. Actually, been a great honour, you know, being a Manx person and actually standing in the House of Keys. It's been a great honour and being returned twice. It's been very rewarding. The first 15 months really gave me a taste for it. It was perfect, really. I was able then to see how I fitted in, worked for the Department of Health and Social Care, as well as the Department for Environment, Food and Agriculture, and then got returned to the general election, and I've been with Treasury ever since. It's been absolutely fantastic. I know it's been a very busy time lately, but you know, I've had political responsibility for Social Security as well as political responsibility for Customs and Excise. So I've seen an awful lot. And in Treasury, you get a great landscape, to be honest, of how Alban government works and the varying degrees of structure, how people actually want to actually get money for their departments. And when you see that full landscape, you've got to make those big decisions and you've really got to understand how to prioritise things. So, yeah, it's been great.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little while. But in your declaration for this year's election, you said that the next several months will be crucial in re-energising our economy. You say the knowledge and experience, as you've referred to just now, that you've gained over the past 6 years representing Douglas North will be invaluable to form that future. What is it, do you think, that makes you so invaluable?
Well, it's understanding how businesses work, to be honest. I ran my own business for 25 years. It's being in Treasury and actually seeing how we've supported local businesses, how we've supported entrepreneurs, how we've supported employees. That, in March 2020, that was a difficult time. We had, you know, 3 days, you know, the of intense work that started at the Hilton Hotel. And it really did have the blueprint then of how we supported the economy, how we supported people. So I think having that, being there in that room and understanding that really is important for the next few months, because I think now as we've come out of this circuit breaker lockdown, it's important that the economy builds up, but it's important that it builds up sustainably. So we really want to get people to feel confident how they can go out, how they can engage with businesses, how they can actually spend their money here on the Isle of Man and start getting ourselves back to that normal spend pattern and actually have the economy running again.
Well, you did also say in the media release announcing your decision to stand, "I'm ready now to listen to constituents' views on the medium and long-term future of the island's economic and social future." That may lead some people to ask, well, where have you been until now? Because you are in Treasury, as you mentioned, but you're not terribly visible.
That was a call for action, actually. That was a call for action in case people actually wanted to contact me now to actually engage with me and talk about the election. No, I'm actually quite pleased how I've engaged with the public, how I've engaged with the constituency, but it is a national position, obviously. So when you work in a side government, you do have to think of the national things. But no, absolutely, it's available now to actually, if people have got something on their mind, give us a call.
Given how much work there has been involved in your Treasury role, do you think perhaps the people of Douglas North have missed out in some way because you've been so busy with that?
I don't think so. I mean, there's myself and obviously David Ashford. He represents the constituency as well. And he's managed to work on his ministerial role in health and social care. So I think really the constituency has been represented with two people that actually have been right at the heart of bringing the island and actually moving the island on through this very difficult time.
As part of our election coverage, we're asking each candidate to give us the three top priorities. For you, you've said climate change, mental health and the local economy. And I just want to look at climate change, first of all. As expected, this time it is featuring highly in nearly every candidate's priority list. It has been something that you've been very vocal about, actually, over the past few years. And I think, would it be fair to say you're really still quite frustrated at the lack of progress that's been made here?
It's been it's a big subject, obviously, and a lot of people have got some reservations about it. There's a lot of fear about the future. There could be fear from actually what the climate's going to, how the climate's actually going to change, but also there's fear about how people are going to have their lives changed. What we need to do as a government is reduce that fear. What we need to do is actually help people make the right choices over the next coming years, how we can actually get to a zero carbon future. So it's about taking responsibility as a government about what you actually do and what you say. So you need to lead by example and help people make those choices for themselves. You're right, climate change was the number one on there, but I was really disappointed that the economy wasn't on that list, and that's why I put that down. As
don't you think, though, that if you put economy on a list like that, naturally, that's what everyone's going to choose? There is obviously the option for you to pick your own top priorities when we send you out the form as well. Yeah. But there was a feeling that economy is a buzzword when it comes to election time. And of course, everyone's going to say, yeah, grow the economy. But what does that actually mean to the people?
Well, what it actually means is it's having a local strong economy. It's an getting people to actually invest in their local economy, to actually want to contribute to the economy, wanting to get out there and support local businesses, talk to people who actually own businesses, have that great communication and enjoy the fact that you actually are supporting the local economy. You want to do it. That's what's really important, rather than just clicking on the internet.
And how often over the past 5 years then have you been out talking to these sort of people, these business people, finding out what it is that they need?
Absolutely. Every week I've done that. That's without doubt. You know, obviously, having my own business 25 years, I was part of that community. I know a lot of people in that area. But that really stood me in good stead to help them through this difficult time. To actually have all your customers taken away. You know, you've worked on your business for all your work and life. To actually have all your customers taken away from you, which has not been your fault, that's a massive thing to get over mentally as well. It really is not to be underestimated how it's really had a toll on people in Douglas.
And so has Treasury really done all that it can to support these people at this time?
Well, as I say, Treasury has got that responsibility to not only look after one section, but it's got to look after every section of society. It's got to look after people who haven't even, unfortunately, got a job. So we've got Social Security, as well as then trying to help the economy. We've also got the departments which are vying for that taxpayers' money to actually run and deliver the public services. So that's why Treasury has to prioritise. So that's why you can always say, you know, you're not done enough, but you really do have to prioritise and try and get that money where you're going to get a good return on that.
That's interesting. We talk about money. I just want to bring you back to climate change for a moment, because in the year 2020-21, Tim Ward, I think, voted £10 million on dealing with issues relating to climate change. Do you know how much of that has been spent so far?
Well, absolutely. It's a progress. It's making sure the money's there. So the money will be there for departments to put forward business cases so we can then actually, if you like, top up the difference between a standard project and something which has got an extra cost on climate change. But the more projects we look like that, the cost will then come down, and so the need for the extra money will not be there. There is money going to be available for the public, and that's something that we're actually working on at the moment. I do sit on the Climate Change Transformational Board, and there is schemes coming through now, but again, it's how to get that money to the right place. What we don't want to do is give taxpayers money out when the structure's not there, when we can't deliver what will meet people's expectations. That is actually going to be a waste of money. So it's really important, first of all, to understand, if you like, what specification we need to have here for properties on the Isle of Man, what specification we need for transport here on the Isle of Man. So all these strategies are being understood at the moment, and that money is there to give businesses the confidence that the government will have the money at the right time, when people are ready and understand it, and when the business sector are ready to deliver it.
So a significant amount of that money then is available.
Yeah, £7.2 million, which is going to be available for that scheme when we actually are ready to deliver it.
But then back in your 2016 manifesto, you vowed to help avoid, and I'm quoting you here, the mud of complacency and inaction into which most government initiatives seem to sink despite the best of intentions. And I would suggest that maybe when it comes to issues like climate change, that's a fairly good example of inaction at the moment, despite your best intentions. And I just wondered what you'd say to that.
Oh, absolutely. So that's actually not the case, because what we've actually got is we've actually got the Climate Change Citizens Forum, where we've got 36 members of the public which are actually in that forum. They can actually then look at the strategies that we're looking at. They can actually give us direct feedback. So this isn't about reports sitting there. This is about Tim Wald completely supporting the climate change transformation, the climate change bill, and then we can then take that bill and actually start putting the strategies and the understanding in place. It's an education that we have to start.
When do you think it'll happen, though?
Well, it's starting now, because the Climate Change Citizens Forum actually started last November. So we're now, 7 months into it. We've now got another meeting. We just had a meeting actually on Monday night, and we've got another meeting in July. So we have webinars in between the meetings, so we're really skilling up the members of that Citizens Forum. So they then can actually go out and talk to all the members of the public and start generating more interest. So it's not a report that sits there and doesn't get actioned. It was actioned straight away. We're just waiting for royal assent on the climate change bill. So it's not even finished its legislation route. So we're just waiting for that to come, which should be sometime in June.
So hopefully then some tangible action and actually some idea of where we're going in the future here in the Isle of Man with regard to climate change and sorting it out.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's the direction you want, clear direction. You want a clear message, government leading by example, and a clear message that people then know when they want to invest their own money to do the right thing, they know exactly what direction to actually go in. And it's not about putting money out too early. That would be wasteful and in the wrong direction.
Let me take you back to your 2016 manifesto again, when you were clear that the government machine was struggling to cope. You said, we need a new engine, one that's more streamlined, efficient and effective. And you said that this should be the priority of the Chief Minister. So, yeah. Ralph Peake, are things any better 5 years down the line?
Well, you know, I don't think there's been a clear enough vision in the last two decades, to be honest, or the last decade, certainly the last two administrations. I think that's really what, if you've got a clear vision, then people can actually get behind that. Once you get sort of bogged down in that detail, then the vision becomes unclear and it's not easy to get behind. A big vision that people can get behind and then we can actually start doing that. So the engine wants to be the total focus on the economy, let's say. So if you're going to focus on that economy, you want to have everything aligned to go in the same direction. So why would you have work permits when you're trying to attract people from the UK? That's not aligned. Having something completely aligned in one vision will actually get the results you want.
But what you're really saying there is that things haven't really changed.
Though things have changed. There's been an awful lot of change. There's been a lot of legislation that's gone through Timbald, for instance, Equality Bill, lots of other legislation that was too difficult to do in previous administrations. So there's been a lot of change in the legislation. There's a lot of change on the climate change, but we've now got unanimous support from Timbald. We've now got a bill gone through and we've now got action strategies in place which will deliver tangible change in the future.
But you did talk in 2016 about resistance to change, and I just have to ask you if maybe you are part of that resistance now. Are you seen perhaps as maybe, I don't know, one of the yes men within the government departments?
That's your opinion, but I don't see that as myself. I actually am one of the ones that actually do want change and I don't shy away from that. And that's one of the roles you actually see in Treasury. The great thing about Treasury, you've got the Treasury Board, all the papers, all the projects that come to there, we can actually test them in there, and then you actually can make that decision. And that shapes the future of the Isle of Man. So change, massive amount of change in Treasury, massive amount of way, and they're actually taking direction, taking it into a better path, more sustainable path, more efficient path.
You wanted to see, 5 years ago, backbenchers able to make more of an effective contribution. You referred to the Lord Lisvain report and one particular recommendation that backbenchers shouldn't become members of government departments as a routine. That was to essentially break the Council of Ministers block vote. You've mentioned you've been a member of Treasury since 2016, before that DEFA and Health. It might seem maybe you abandoned your principles that you outlined in your manifesto there.
No, I haven't abandoned my principles at all. It's clear that that Lisvain report, I thought I completely supported that, and I think that was one of the best things that was actually done. It wasn't taken by the majority of Timbald, I agree, but I certainly supported that throughout. There's a number of things there which have actually come and been supported over the years bit by bit, and one of the things which is coming in the next administration will be the structure of pay that will actually transform things. So you actually then take away the need to actually be in government and to actually have the pay, so you can then have scrutiny and government equally valued, so you're not then in government and scrutinising. So that I think will be a massive thing, and that's the thing that Lord Lisvain pointed out and actually is one of the biggest things that I support.
So if you were elected then in September, where would you stand when it comes to either being part of that scrutiny or part of government if you were asked to?
Well, that depends on who the Chief Minister is, and that depends if you get back in and who the Chief Minister is, because you actually want to work with people that you're actually good working with. You know, and if you think other people can work with that person, then you'd step aside and let those work.
That's a very political answer.
Well, it's true, isn't it? Because none of us know now who's actually going to get back in and who's going to be lucky enough to get back in, what the people actually want, what makeup of team will they actually want. And it'll be interesting then to see, you know, who the Chief Minister will be from that 24 people who are returned by the public.
I mean, a couple of names being mooted around. If they were the ones to get back in, do you know who you would support for Chief Minister? Would you be able to tell us?
As I say, you know, until it, that's just hypothetical, isn't it? Until you actually get 24 people returned in September this year, then we don't know.
So you wouldn't be able to answer if you'd take a ministerial position?
It was quite clear that I vote for Ralph Cannon at the last vote, but again, you know, we'll have to see who gets back next time.
If it was him, would you take a ministerial position?
It's just a hypothetical, isn't it? I definitely vote for him last time.
Let's just talk about something else that was a 2016 priority, town centre regeneration. You said you were passionate about creating a vibrant and vital Douglas. What did you do about that over the past 5 years?
So what actually we've actually got here now is we have got a number of brownfield sites that actually still need to do. So what we've actually done in Treasury is the pressure that has been put on to create the structures to actually deliver on those brownfield sites. We've now got some movement on that over the last 12 months after trying to get that further. So we've got sites around Douglas. There is things, obviously, in the background, which can't say at the moment, but there's a lot of pressure actually going on to try and get these sites converted. Some of these sites have been in Douglas untouched for 25 years. That's not good enough.
I mean, so Douglas not terribly much more vibrant than it was 5 years ago, then?
Well, I think you can definitely say that, yeah.
Guess that leads us to planning. Again, in 2016, I think it was, you said that one of the next government's priorities should be to ensure all planning policy documents are fit for purpose by the end of the term. Where are we up to with that, would you say?
Yeah, well, we had a difficult Eastern Area Plan debate in Tynwald, which that's not something which I suppose, I think it really was time to actually break that cycle. There was a number of us that really tried hard to get that changed. We were unsuccessful at doing that. The majority went with the status quo. We do need a different way on how we actually go about planning, how we go about building our homes, how we can make homes affordable, efficient to run for our people of the Isle of Man. And that's young people, you know, as well as elderly. That is a priority. It has to be delivered on. It hasn't happened because the status quo wasn't changed. It's a shame that we're still going to have a North and Western plan before we get the all-island strategy. That's what's needed, an all-island strategy.
It's interesting, again, a lot of people talking about affordable housing, particularly for young people. And it just seems like such a pipe dream. What actually can be done about that in practice to make it happen?
OK, well, the great thing is it's not a pipe dream anymore, because I've actually been to a house this week, a semi-detached house, brand new house in Douglas. The cost of the build is £150,000. This is the sort of new technology, new ways of thinking, architect-designed house that can be available for a build cost of £150,000. You need to find the land to sit it on. But the way that it's constructed, it can actually be mounted on to some sensitive sites. It doesn't have deep foundations. It uses a system that can be actually shipped in and erected in very short order. Within 4 weeks, the whole place is completely watertight and finished on the outside, so all the work can be done on the inside. This is the way we need to do. It's breaking the status quo and getting in new thoughts, new ways of actually how we're going to deliver it. And then we can release some of these small pockets of land that perhaps couldn't, traditional construction can't be built on, and these new ones can. So that's in the centre of Douglas now, and I actually saw that just at the beginning of this week on Monday, so it's absolutely fantastic.
Nearing the end of our time here, Ralph Peake, but just bringing it back to issues to do with the economy. I suppose some people might think that regardless of what we were told during the budget this year, tax rises during an election year would really be political suicide. And I just wonder, given the amount of financial support that's had to be given in the past year, do you think we're going to see tax rises in the next budget?
This was not the time to have tax rises after we've had over a year.
So will it be next year?
Well, that depends on how the investments work out, how the economy bounces back, what income actually comes in from businesses from the spend. That's the decision it'll make. So that's the good thing about being in Treasury. You actually see the overall picture, and you can actually make then decisions for a sustainable future rather than just a knee-jerk reaction when you haven't got all the information to hand and think, oh, this is going to happen. It's not the case. When you actually have all the information at your fingertips, you can then make informed decisions for the benefit of the Isle of Man and the people of the Isle of Man.
Well, if you had to sum up your election pledges for the people of Douglas North and the Isle of Man for the next 5 years, if you're re-elected, what would they be?
Integrity. I actually work hard, listen to what people have got to say. I think I'm one, you know, a good listener, and we can actually then do the hard work and actually deliver on what the island needs. I think we have got a future where we can be sustainable, we can have a healthier, happier future which doesn't rely on carbon fuels.
And in terms of scrutiny, which is obviously something that you're very passionate about, you say, we don't often see your name on the Tim Ward question paper or the Keys question paper, really. Do you see maybe that your role is more about sort of sitting back and doing the behind-the-scenes work?
Well, people have got different views on questions. It's not a problem to actually ring a department and get the answers you want for yourself or for your constituents. But I've actually delivered 104 motions, which is the third highest number of motions in my term. So I'm proud of the work that I do with the divisions that I work with. So, you know, I'm happy with the way that I use my time to be effective and support what's needed in government as well as the Isle of Man.
Ralph Peake, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.